Speaking with our suspense clock, as we always do this time of the week. If you want to get in touch, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on plus 34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And by the miracle of modern technology, just about, I've got Alastair Spence Clark on the line. Good morning to you, Alastair.
Yeah, good morning. Just about made it this morning. I was panicking.
You know that thing about, you know, swans or ducks over the water and they glide effortlessly, but beneath they're paddling madly.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. Well, I was definitely paddling madly 5 minutes ago because I couldn't get my Skype to work.
Well, welcome to my world. Good to have you with us. Now, on today's show, we're going to be speaking 952-78-4000, the phone number, if you, or you can email me, studio@tre.radio. Personal income tax problems, and of course, we're looking at businesses, self-employed and business end-of-year planning, and as well some new Brexit, tax implications as well, I believe. So let's start with the... Because, you know, Christmas is coming, apparently, and it's that time of the year as well where we've got to be looking at our tax planning.
Yeah, really the last quarter of the year is the time when businesses, you know, owners, self-employed people need to focus on, you know, how's the year working out, and making sure they, you know, take advantage of whatever tax breaks there are, and also understand what their accounts are saying. So really, between now and the end of the year, this is really what people should do. We're not talking about spending a lot of time, you know, spend an hour with your accountant and go through the numbers, because if you don't go through the numbers now, it'll be too late in January.
And what are we looking at then? I mean, when you say going through the numbers, are we trying to work out, you know, what we can, as a self-employed person, you know, should we be looking at what we should be deducting, what breaks we should get?
Yeah, I mean, there are things that you should do as a self-employed person. For example, you need to make sure you include any ERTE type income or subsidies you received during the last close down, lockdown, because that's income. Your whatever grants, you know, whether it's the €300 from Andalusia or the more generous grant that came from the state, you need to treat that as income. Otherwise, what you're going to have is an unpleasant shock in June next year, when you have to sort of divvy up on the total tax for the year. Because if you don't pay enough on account during the year, you'll finish up with a much bigger bill at the end of the year, which is not an ideal situation. So the self-employed need to do that. And they also need to look at, I mean, hopefully they've made it, you know, the year hasn't been a disaster. You need to consider whether it's worth making a pension contribution.
Right.
So that's kind of an interesting one. You're allowed at the moment to put to invest up to 8,000 into a licensed, in a registered pension product, and that 8,000 comes off the top of your income. So therefore, you save income tax at the highest rate of tax on that 8,000 or 4,000, whatever it is that you want to put in. So it's quite a nice kind of tax break. That money then sits with the insurance company, bank, whatever, until you decide to retire. So it's a deferral of income tax until the time that you maybe have less income when you're retired. So it's definitely something to consider. You don't want to do this in, you know, the last moment, because it's it gets chaotic in December. You want to be starting to talk to your accountant this last in the next few weeks. And talk to an insurance broker or a bank to see what options you've got. So that's definitely worth doing. Also, the government has just announced, or what's being discussed in the budget for 2021, that they're going to be cutting pension scheme contributions in a big way. I'm not sure they're going to get rid of them altogether, but I wouldn't be surprised if they reduce the limit from 8,000 to 4,000 or something like that.
Right. So then perhaps you want to start thinking about this sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I mean, you need to do it before the end of the year. You've got to pay the money out to an insurance company before the end of this year. And you also need to bear in mind that next year we may not have this luxury of being able to get a tax break on our income. So so I think Charles, it's if you've got money in the bank and you're not sure what to do with it, which is a nice thought, yeah. It's a good thing to invest in these pension policies because they're very tax efficient.
I mean, I was going to say how much of a large spanner in the works has this situation, you know, our current COVID, you know, the ERTE, the 300 subsidiary that some of us got from Andalusia, for example, how much of a problem, a headache is that for you know, putting together your planning?
Well, you need to take account of it. So, you know, if you've been hit by ERTE, you know, you might have had a good quarter, you might have had a decent quarter in the middle of the summer, and you're not looking bad for the end of the year, then you need to be looking at your income. And you need to sit down with your account. It doesn't happen very often in Spain. I don't know why, but people don't sit down with their accountants and sort of go through the stuff at the end of the year just to say, you know, does it all make sense? Mm. Because as I said, you know, you get to January, it's too late. You know, if your accountant hasn't picked up on the fact that you've got a bunch of invoices to go through, you're going to lose the VAT on that. So you really, I can't emphasize this too much. You know, you pay your accountant to do stuff. You need to sit down with the accountant and go through the figures. Just for half an hour, it's not a big deal, but just make sure that the accountant and you speak the same language in terms of what you're declaring.
And because of what's happened with COVID earlier on in the year, there are so many sort of chicanes, if you like.
It's a very unusual year. You know, things have happened. People have had grants, and they forgot that they've got to pay tax on that.
Yeah, I was going to come on to that point because Hacienda have a reputation for this, don't they? They just suddenly go, okay, well, actually, and it happened to some friends of mine I know. They'd, you know, got through the lockdown period. They, you know, they're creatives, and then suddenly they had got a rather interesting email saying, right, well, this is the tax that you should have paid on this. You know, we put off and now we want it now, kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And this also applies to employees. So, you know, you may have been an ERTE victim, so many people have been. The income you've got from the ERTE is taxable.
Okay.
Shock horror.
Yeah, I know.
So it's part of your income. And of course, the tax office, sorry, the Social Security office, does not deduct IRPF, which is income tax, PAYE. They don't deduct it from your ERTE payment, kind of logically. But the trouble is, you've got to consider that as part of your income. Otherwise, in June next year, you're going to have a very nasty shock. Now, it's unlikely, because your income's probably been so depressed, if you've been on ERTE, that you've got a problem. But, you know, you need to do the number crunching. That's what accountants are for, to help with the number crunching, just to make sure you don't get into trouble. So that's what I'm saying is to pretty well everybody who pays tax in Spain, yeah, this is the time you should just reflect on where you are this year, and make sure that your accounts make sense if you've got accounts, that you've taken advantage of whatever tax breaks are around, and that you know what you're doing, because once you pass the 31st of December, things get more difficult.
Also, obviously, if you have, you know, it's been a difficult time for autonomous and small businesses. Tell us a little bit about this thing that came around in September. Is it a concurso?
Oh, right, yeah. September, they've reformed the Ley Concursal. Ley Concursal is insolvency law, basically, Chapter 11 in the US. And basically, it's about how a business can protect itself from its creditors who are demanding money in order to save the business. So this new Concurso law, which is really a reformed old law, but put into kind of a logical sequence more than anything else because it's been messed around with over the last 20 years. What this new Ley Concursal does is it enables businesses that are in trouble to plan themselves out of trouble without creditors becoming aggressive. Okay? Apart from the tax office, of course.
Yeah, sure.
So if you've got, you know, you owe rent for, you know, 6 months or something and you can't pay the rent, you've got to pay the Social Security for the staff and all the rest of it, and you just can't see your way out of it, one of the ways of saving your business is to use the Sistema de Concurso. And you have the ability to file a notice with the courts. It's a very simple process. Basically saying to the court, look, I'm in trouble. I need some time to sort out my creditors, make a deal with them perhaps. And all you do is that. provide that information to your creditors and try and sit down with them and sort out a deal so that you pay them 50% in the euro or whatever, but or you get time to pay over the next 2 or 3 years. But there is a legal process that forces the creditors, apart from the tax office, right, forces the creditors to sit down with you and work out a realistic way of moving forward. Now, inevitably, you have to involve a professional. Usually, you involve a lawyer, possibly someone like me, and we work out the kind of survival plan for the business and help the business move forward. Okay? So it's really, it's not about just giving up, throwing your hands up in the air. It's about if you've got a sound business which has just got a serious problem, then talk to a professional, and that professional may be able to save your business.
Something else that you mentioned or that came across my radar was the fact we talked about you can put 8,000 euros at the moment into a pension and it can come off.
Yeah.
And it's, but the other thing is if you have a small business and you have directors, and a lot of people don't do this.
Yes, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, paying. Just explain a little bit.
We've come across a number of clients recently, new clients, whose previous advisors hadn't told them that they should put through a minimum amount of salary. So you're a director of a small company. Actually, you're a bit like an autonomer with a company. It's an awful lot of businesses in Spain. And what you've got to do is you should put through a minimum of 15,000 euros per annum through the books as your salary. And the reason for that is it's completely tax-free. So if you've got a business that makes 20,000 pounds, 20,000 euros this year, you could pay 25% corporation tax on that, or you could put through 15,000 of director salary and pay tax on only 5,000 a year. That's kind of a simple thing to do.
Yeah.
It's kind of a no-brainer. And also, and you can do that in December. You don't have to do it monthly. You can just put the 15,000 through in 1 month. So not to put through a salary is absolutely crazy. Because it's completely tax-free at 15,000 a year.
And that's going to help any small business, especially in these particular times as well.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of advisors don't tell their clients that, look, you've got a company. To take money out of that company, you can do one of two things. Have a salary or a bonus once a year, or you can have a dividend. Now, if you take dividends out, it costs you 40% in tax.
So it makes more sense than to take a salary out.
Well, I mean, effectively, if you absolutely, because that 15,000 is completely tax-free. And it's tax-free because you have a combination of personal allowances, employed income allowance, you've got your social security costs. You have to pay social security in Spain. We all know that.
Yeah.
So you get that deducted as well. So not to put a salary through to compensate for all these deductions that you're entitled to is really crazy, in my view. It's ill-informed. It's basically no advice, and it does happen, unfortunately, very frequently. So anyway, I'm on the radio to tell people to get their act together because they can save themselves a lot of money. So that's what I'm doing.
Indeed. Well, that's a good one to know. A couple of new rules and regulations. A to do with estate agents, and B to do with banks. And are we back to money laundering problems again?
Yeah, banks have been hit very hard by regulatory fines because they haven't been doing what they're meant to be doing. It wouldn't surprise me that people out there listening have had bank accounts closed without warning, or they've received notices to provide. I actually received one myself, and I'm pretty well organized about stuff like that. And I had 2 weeks to provide all the information that you can imagine. Okay, otherwise they're going to close my card account. And you know, I could have been traveling, I could have been unavailable. And I'd have lost my account. So I'm just warning people, be careful with banks. They've been heavily fined, and now they're reacting by just making it very difficult to keep their account open for people who, because the bank has been slow in doing stuff that they should have done years ago. Let me give you an example of how bad that can be, just for fun, Giles.
Yeah, of course.
You may be a self-employed person on Tarifa Plana, which is the 60 euros a month special deal for the first year. If your bank account is closed without you sort of having had a chance to deal with it, the direct debit that goes to that account, the 60 euros direct debit, is not paid.
Okay, right.
What happens then, the Social Security says, you haven't paid on this special deal. We're now going to charge you 260 for the month, plus a 20% fine. So that's 330 euros instead of 60 euros, just because your bank decided to close your account or suspend your account. They may not close it, they just suspend it. So just be careful about that, because I've had one client in particular who had 3 months of Tarifa Plana go wrong, and it's cost him almost 1,000 euros. Bad news.
Bad news indeed. And this, of course, this whole new thing about estate agents, they've got to look at checking where the tenants, etc. I mean, all sorts of people.
Yeah, there may be some estate agents out there, you know, listening to the radio program, and I just wanted to warn them that they're going to have to do what everybody else does with checking their customers, and they're going to have to do it with the rental clients. They haven't had to do that before. They've had to do it with people they buy and sell, but they're going to have to do it with the rental landlords as well as the tenants. The tenants are going to check up on the tenants, do the usual thing, get their IDs, etc., etc. So it's just a little warning for estate agents out there. I just also say a word about ICO loans.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, ICO loans, another little thing that can go wrong for people in business. People who have taken advantage of the ICO system to get sort of subsidized loans with special deals through the COVID-19 process. Just a warning that the banks are going to be investigating the use of the money. So, you know, you got 20,000 out.
Yeah, so
to help with the cash flow.
Yes.
If you didn't use that, let's say you used it on a nice holiday to Vietnam or something.
Yeah, somewhere you could actually go to, right? Exactly, yeah.
You're going to have to pay it back. So if you haven't used your ICO loan, if you can't prove that the ICO loan has been used on financing the business, paying creditors, staff, social security, etc. If you can't prove that, if you've used it to repay a credit card debt, for example, you're in trouble.
Okay.
Hopefully, a bit of forewarning may allow people to juggle their paperwork, if you know what I mean, to kind of get it right.
Sure. So yeah, but don't think just if you are called to investigate, don't show up in a new car or wearing a new suit because they'll know where that came from.
If you get a phone call from the bank saying, "What did you do with that money?" Do not say, "I went on holiday with it."
Yes, it wouldn't go down well at all. And just a quick other point. I mean, we still haven't got the budget set for next year. It doesn't look like we will do, does it?
Well, Parliament's been debating about, or should I say, the government has put forward some budget proposals. We haven't seen the detail yet because they haven't published the text. But what they have announced via press releases and all the rest of it is actually it's not so good if you're wealthy. What they're going to do is they're going to increase income tax by 2% for people earning over $300,000 a year.
Right.
Okay. If you receive dividend income, investment income of over 200,000 a year, it's going to be 3% higher. So it goes from 23% to 26%. Pension scheme contributions have been cut. I've already mentioned that. Wealth tax for those areas of Spain that pay wealth tax could go up by an additional 1%, over 10 million. So if somebody's got, you know, 10 million in assets, they will have an extra 1%. So that could go up in Andalusia, for example, to 4.3% if Andalusia applies the same rules. Couple of other things. Insurance policy tax is going to go up a little bit. Corporation tax is going to go up for those companies who receive dividend income from other companies. So this is a sort of international groups getting exemption on their dividend income from other members of the group. And a couple of other technical things, which I won't bore the listener. Toby tax, Google tax, green plastic rubbish tax.
Yeah, all those sort of things. But finally,
a lot of tweaking.
But finally, let's leave it with, because it's getting everywhere. There's some more news on tax changes for Brits after the withdrawal agreement. Just quickly run through those.
Yeah, I've had a few inquiries in the last week from people who have heard in the grapevine that there's going to be problems for Brits after Brexit from a tax perspective. I was actually on a program doing this about 6 months ago. But basically, just to quickly summarize, rental income is going to go up from 19% to 24%. So if you've got a rental property in Spain, and you're a foreigner, you're a non-resident, your rate's going to go from 19% to 24%. But much, much worse than that is you're not going to be able to deduct any costs. No community fee deduction.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So if you've got 10,000 a year coming in on a rental and it's costing you 6,000 a year in community fee, mortgage, interest, etc., you're not going to get any deductions. You're going to pay 24% on 10,000, 2,400. So that's really going to be quite painful for a lot of Brits, okay? Well, not okay. In fact, I think illegal. It's unconstitutional to charge one group of people more than another group of people, and Article 31(1) of the Constitution says otherwise. Applies also to second homes. You know, foreigners have to pay deemed rental income, this kind of imaginary rent that we're meant to receive from ourselves.
Yep.
It's all madness, really. But anyway, that's going to go up to 24%
as well, right? This is for UK residents. If you have Spanish residency, this isn't going to apply to you.
It does not apply to people who live in Spain and declare that they live in Spain.
Right, thank you. Right, okay.
Very important, otherwise we'll get 1,000 phone calls saying, what's going to happen?
But if you've got your residency, which you should have, because if you live here and you're paying, you know, you're in the system or whatever, you've got all your, then you're absolutely
fine.
Right, okay. You were going to say?
Yeah, please don't mix up residency with being tax resident.
Yeah. We get that a lot.
They're two entirely separate things, and you can be you can have residencia, as you will need one. You'll need a TIE to come here and live here for more than 90 days. That is completely different to paying income tax in Spain, because that means you've lived here for 6 months or more. Or Spain is the only place you have a home. If you only have a home in Spain, you are resident in Spain by definition.
Absolutely.
Okay. Tax resident. Okay.
Yep. And that is pretty much it, I believe. Alice, if people want to cut through the fog or talk about getting that pension in, gets changed, which is very interesting news indeed, where can they find you?
Absolutely. You can find us on 95282-2943. Look us up on the net, spenceclark.com, or just type Spence Accountant Clark Marbella, anything like that, and you will find us. And we have a nice website, lots of information on there, and you can even get free tax calculations from us if you just fill in a simple form and send us some data. We will come back to you with an email within 24 hours estimating your income tax if you're concerned about living here and you don't really know what the tax cost might be. But we do an awful lot of that. We probably get, I don't know, two or three inquiries a day.
Yeah,
which is actually quite a lot, sometimes more than others. So a lot of people are thinking about living in Spain and declaring, particularly with Brexit, needing to be here permanently. A lot of people are thinking about it, and we're on the phone, but you can also be reasonably anonymous just by filling in a form on our website.
Alistair Spence-Clark, as always, I'm off to go and award myself a large pension increase and a huge salary.
Don't forget to put your 300 in.
Absolutely. Alistair Spence-Clark, as always, great to speak to you.
It's a pleasure, Giles. Thank you very much.